Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Now, if you go to Green 960's website, you'll see that they cut off their scheduling at 1 o'clock, which is when we come on. That figures. You know, I mean, I'm kind of used to that. But anyway, starting January 4th, I believe, we'll still be on Green 960 on their regular AM station, but hidden. That makes sense. I'm too much of a security risk. 7 past the hour, welcome to the Malloy Program. The new president of the South Carolina Baptist Convention, Brad Atkins, says that Christians will have a much easier time voting for a 3 times married serial adulterer like Newt Gingrich before ever voting for a Mormon like Mitt Romney. Don't you just love these religious bastards? Isn't it just comical? And, you know, again, when their lives are snuffed out, if they just had a moment where they had a reference point where they could see the void, you know, stand there scratching their heads going, but I thought, you mean, the Reverend Brad Atkins, tabbed in November to lead the Southern Baptist Convention, the South Carolina Baptist Convention, for the coming year, said on Friday that while Gingrich's infidelities may represent a major obstacle for some Christian voters, it isn't an issue that necessarily excludes the former speaker from consideration. Rather, it's an issue that calls for prayerful consideration of Gingrich's numerous public confessions to his wrongdoings. The issue presented by Romney's faith may be more deeply rooted to South Carolinians. Atkins, the pastor at Powdersville First Baptist Church in the upstate, said, quote, in South Carolina, Romney's Mormonism will be more of a cause of concern than Gingrich's infidelity, end quote. He added, conservatives can process and pray their way through the issue of forgiveness toward a Christian who has had infidelity in their life, but will struggle to understand how anyone could be a Mormon and call themselves Christian. Rah! I added that last part. Astonishing. Just a sign. But see, you know, we've talked about this before. This escape valve that Christians allow themselves, but don't allow anyone else. Isn't that cool? I mean, well, yeah, we believe in your right to choose a religion. Of course, if you don't choose this one, you're going to burn in hell forever. Your body nibbled on by snakes, scorpions, and spiders. But their out is this. It's an issue, you know, Newt being a cheating, lying, oath-breaking, slimy bastard. That's an issue for prayerful consideration, given Newt's numerous public confessions. You see, there's a passage in the Bible. Where is it? Don't look it up. He that confesseth before man, him will I confess before my Father. Those are the words of Jesus. Somewhere in the Bible. I remember my grandmother making sure that I knew that one. Because to the Christians, you have to, and in some cases, Newt's case, to these fundamentalists, you have to do it over and over and over again. Yes, I cheated on my wife. Yes, I cheated on her, too. Yes, I cheated. Yes, 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 yes! Anything to get elected! So anyway, the South Carolina Baptist Convention says, no, we'd rather have a thrice married serial adulterer than a Mormon. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, imagine if they said that about a Jew or a, well, Newt is a Catholic, or, I mean, they have a woman as governor who, oh, I know she converted to Christianity, but she was a Sikh, member of the Sikh faith. What about that? Well, I'll go back to what Gandhi said. I like your Christ, but you Christians really suck. Okay, I changed it a little bit, but, you know. The Republicans in the House. See, this is what caused me last week to kind of lose control and say, vote Democrat. No matter what you do, vote Democrat. I don't know. You know, where it concerns Republicans, I dare not get into it too far, or the Green 960 will move me to 4 o'clock in the morning. But, and they never even mention, you know, that I'm on their air. Oh, God. But this is why I went berserk last week. You know, Republicans, after the Senate voted, what was it, 89 to 10 or something in favor of this extension of the payroll tax cut and unemployment comp for people who have been out of work for so long, thanks to Republicans. And the Republicans in the House said, no, we're not going to do it. Because the Senate had come up with this, a flimsy deal to begin with, 2-month extension, and we'll do it next year. You know, you notice that these little extensions are getting narrower and narrower. When's it going to be? Okay, we're going to have a 24-hour extension on the unemployment thing, and then we're going to have to vote again. So for the next 24 hours, you get your check. And then Boehner and the rest of these rat bastard Republicans have the audacity to step out, call a press conference after Obama spoke today, and say, well, no, you know, we all want a 1-year extension. No, you don't, you lying pig. You liar. Got an email from Dr. Saxman this afternoon. He didn't know. I happened to be on the computer. He just threw the email into the ether to see what would happen. But I was watching the same coverage of Boehner's response to Obama that Dr. Saxman was. And he sent me this quick email that said, looks like a gathering of the Klan. All those white people stepping out there. Did you see any of that today when Boehner came out? And that tribe of miscreants and sick rat bastards standing behind him? They look like well-dressed Klan members. You know, they just did. Oh. So anyway, the House voted 229 to 193. To reject everything. 7 Republicans joined the Democrats. I forget who the Republicans are. It really doesn't matter. It's the Republicans had a bill that not only would extend the unemployment comp and the payroll tax cut, they would extend it on a couple of conditions. First of all, the approval process of the pipeline would be speeded up to the point where they only had another month or two to consider it before Obama had to sign off on it. Also, that Medicare, the doctors who treat Medicare patients would see their remittances go down, their receipts from the government go down, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I tend to forget that the Republicans and the Democrats are pretty similar when something like this happens. I really do. I will never, ever, ever forgive the cowardice of the Democrats. Never. Nancy Pelosi had a chance when the Democrats got control of the House during the last years of the reign of error of the Bush crime family, and she did nothing. And neither did Harry Reid. And I'll never forgive them for that. But as far as voting Democrat again, no. It's an amazing book. Phone Joy. Oh, I how. The Yama Elder White. Are these your kids? This book gives you the secret to eternal life. Sound good? Eternal life. With Jesus Christ. It's super fun. Hello. Ding dong. And if you let us in, we'll show you how.
microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Our holiday party is Thursday this year. And I think Molly is going to actively participate in it, so you don't want to miss that. What's the new one we're reading this year?
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise? Something about a latke? Yeah, we're trying to be a little ecumenical this year. Very little. But we have a fable of a latke. Where was I? Oh, yeah. The Republicans in the House, you know, where the money measures have to arise, and then they go to the Senate, and they get changed, and they go back to House, and they go back to Senate, then they go to conference committee, and so on and so forth. Anyway, the Republicans are making it very clear. We've been talking about this now for what? 2 years? Three, four, five, six? It doesn't matter. I mean, the 38 people who listen to this program are already aware that the Republicans are hell-bent as their pimps on Wall Street are forcing them to do. Because the pimps on Wall Street own the Republicans, every single one of them, and a goodly share of the Democrats. So the pimps are saying, we want you to continue to do what you're doing, to suck it to the middle class. We have to destroy the middle class. Without a middle class, we don't have to worry about revolution. When people are too hungry, i.e. North Korea, to revolt, they simply don't. So the middle class has to be utterly and absolutely destroyed. Anybody come up with any ideas why the capitalists want to destroy the middle class? I mean, 70% of this economy is driven by the fact that we buy stuff that we don't need. Garbage, junk, crapola. Really? I mean, truly. This is what makes America great, the fact that we are willing to convert our labors into purchases for junk, crap, garbage, filth. And, of course, the capitalists make huge fortunes on this, on the fact that we're willing to buy what is produced in their slave labor factories all around the world now. But the Republicans are doing their Lord's work, the pimps who own them. And the pimps are saying, the capitalist pimps are saying to their handmaidens in the Republican Party, stop everything. And then get out there and whine and grovel and say, well, you really wanted a one-year extension of unemployment benefits, but you know what? That damn Obama, that damn Harry Reid, all those damn Democrats, they just wouldn't let us do it. And the idea being that people, within 2 months, people forget. I mean, when this tax increase goes into effect and another $1,000 a month on average is taken out of people's paychecks, who are they going to be pissed at? All these Machiavellian machinations by these filthy Republicans? The voters don't remember that stuff. They just take a look and they say, oh, you know, goddamn government, look, more money on my paycheck. Boy, those sons of Obama, that son of a bitch. You know, without even realizing that Obama really doesn't have anything to do with this. I mean, you can fault Obama for a lot of things. I do, on a regular basis. But this is not his. This is Boehner's and the teabaggers who are acting, and that filthy little snot, Eric Cantor. They are all acting in response to what their pimps, the capitalist pimps, are telling them to do. Do this and do it now. And do it endlessly until the middle class is utterly and absolutely gutted. So when the capitalist pimps squawk and pull back on the reins, their servants in the House, in the Republican Party, in the House and the Senate, get busy. And every once in a while you have an apostate in the Senate, like, what's his name, Brown? Is it Brown? The guy that Elizabeth Warren is going to make a one-termer. You know, there are one or two. I think even, what's his name from Utah? You know who I'm talking about. I think he said, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't be doing this. Man. So anyway, I'm not going to focus a whole lot on that tonight, just because you probably already knew it. And you watch, within a couple of months, if that long, maybe a week or two, people will, Richard Lugar, that's what it was, of Indiana, excuse me, Scott Brown of Massachusetts, Richard Lugar of Indiana, not Utah. We got enough representation from Utah. So, rather than have a straight up or down vote on what the Senate passed, the House today implemented a procedure, a maneuver in which it rejected the Senate bill while at the same time requesting to go to conference with members of the Senate. And of course, the, you know, the Senate leadership said, are you crazy? We've already worked this out. We're home. It's up to you. Do whatever you want. Sharp cut in the fees paid to doctors who accept Medicare. That was in there, too. Huh? Nice. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
But she backed it up and squashed him one more time. Grandma cried and cried at Grandpa's funeral. Not because...
Oh, yeah. This hour is being sponsored by Dave Helms. He has a message. Happy birthday to my wonderful wife, Bonnie. And thank you for turning me into one crazy SOB. Thanks, Mike. And keep up the fight.
Coming out of Woody's Christmas Day.
Before the hour, this hour is being sponsored by Dave Helms. And his message, happy birthday to my wonderful wife, Bonnie, and thank you for tuning me in to one crazy SOB. Oh, I thought it said for turning me into one crazy SOB. Oh, he means me. Whoops. Thanks, Mike, and keep up the fight. So from Dave Helms, Bonnie, listen, he didn't say that you were turning him into a crazy SOB, tuning him into. Oh my God, I hope we didn't cause a divorce here, did we? I hope not. Anyway, Dave Helms, thanks Dave. I appreciate the sponsorship and, thank you Bonnie for tuning him into this program. From Prairie 2, a.k.a., wait for it, Bruce Enberg. What's ancient is new again. Only three states showed increased unemployment in November, with 44 showing improvement. Basically, the red state Republicans are running out of teachers, cops, and firefighters to lay off. These states have been falling behind the blue states that maintained government jobs. But now even most red states are showing job growth. Partly this is pent-up demand, but also stimulus from extended unemployment. And the continued government spending on stimulus projects has had an effect that Republicans have not been able to inhibit completely. These numbers aren't all that great, but they are positive and seem to be working to Obama's advantage, with his approval rating moving up sharply, again approaching 50%. We are really living 1995 over again. Clinton's numbers were terrible then, and the Republicans were beating him up in Congress. Then Speaker Newt Gingrich shut the government down over the holidays rather than accept a balanced budget. Clinton was perceived as the adult in the room and easily won re-election. Unfortunately, this didn't extend to Democrats in Congress, and Republicans continued to destroy America until 2007. Newt is back and again angling to be president. He thought he could impeach his way into the job in the 90s. Now he thinks he can do it on arrogance alone. House Republicans are again making the president look good by their repeated attempts to shut down the government if not the nation itself. Republicans do understand Keynesian economics, even if they deny it, like global warming, evolution, and the round earth theory. They, of course, use reverse Keynesian economics, where they slash spending, cut wages, and eliminate government jobs to reach their goal of neo-feudalism. Let's be clear. This little bright spot in jobs numbers could be shut off quicker than an efficient light bulb at a teabag convention. If Republicans are successful in killing federal unemployment benefits extensions, then some 2.2 million people will immediately fall into poverty, with another 4 million falling into poverty during the rest of 2012. Add to this the impact of a 2% tax increase on all working people from Republicans ending the payroll tax holiday, and you are looking at a fast slide toward the bottom. There will be millions more people collecting unemployment benefits who now have jobs, so the cost savings are, of course, just right-wing fantasy. You don't get out of economic trouble by cutting costs. It has never worked anywhere, ever. The grandiose building projects of ancient civilizations weren't just to stroke the ego of a foolish king. It was the kings who did these things to put their people to work that survived. The kings that survived were the ones who did these things to put their people to work. The ancient equivalent of teabag governments did not survive. The Romans did a lot of this, but concentrated on heavy stimulus projects for the public good. They did have their decadent 1%, however, and by the time the Roman Empire started to decline, they had captured 18% of all wealth. Our decadent 1% have captured 40% of our wealth and have their sights set on 100%. We have made strides compared to the Romans. We can watch the circus from the comfort of our home, those who still have one, and we don't need to run to the forum except for bread and trinkets from the East. Christians are no longer fed to the lions. They do the feeding. NASCAR provides the thrills and spills of chariot racing. This just in. The Senate wants to invade Persia now that our legions have left Mesopotamia. There is nothing new under the sun. You can go to Bruce's website, prairienumeral2.com. Isn't that the truth? The Senate wants to invade Persia now that our legions have left Mesopotamia. Oh my God. Ever heard of Jules Manson? I think he may be a son of Charles. Or maybe a nephew, Jules Manson, a failed Tea Party candidate. He's another Glenn Beck acolyte who has gone berserk. They got this one before he could do any damage, except to himself. He's a failed Tea Party candidate for local office in California, Jules Manson. He recently called for the assassination of President Obama and his daughters in a racial, epithet-ridden Facebook screed. The Post refers to the president as a monkey, and then it got much worse. He wrote, quote, "Assassinate the effing N-word and his monkey children." That's according to a screenshot captured by the blog Your Black Politics. The post has been scrubbed from Facebook and at his profile replaced with an explanation that the comments were, quote, "careless, emotionally driven remarks that had no real substance," end quote. Excuse me. Oh, why is everybody getting so upset? Mr. Manson is an avid Ron Paul supporter and libertarian. I'm going to talk about this third hour tonight. So if you're a Ron Paul supporter under the age of 30, stick around, because I'm going to take your little fascist Ron Paul and rip the goddamn flesh off his skeleton. Oh, and I'll reserve some of the ripping for Newt. But stick around, because it's going to happen. Anyway, Manson, who's an avid Ron Paul supporter and libertarian, also writes that he has since been visited by the Secret Service, with whom he says he cooperated fully as he was, quote, "hiding nothing," end quote. According to the New York Daily News, Mr. Manson lost his bid this year for a city council seat in Carson, California. He only got 4% of the vote. And he has also posted pictures of Obama dressed as Hitler from his Facebook account. The New York Daily News reports that it was unable to reach Manson at the phone number listed for his residence in a Carson trailer park. Jules Manson. Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, and to a lesser degree, the baby Jesus, Sean Hannity, have really triggered the emotionally unstable in this country, the real psychopathology kind of trigger people. It's really something. Do you ever see one of these mass killers wandering around looking for something to blow up or people to assassinate, saying, "I want more unemployment comp. I think I'll go kill some people so I can get unemployment comp." No, you don't. Oh, by the way, Gingrich got another endorsement, and Iowa evangelicals, you people who are deciding, you Baptists who are deciding, you can deal with a serial adulterer, lying, slimy, sneaky son of a bitch, but you can't deal with a Mormon. Here, listen up, Iowa evangelicals. The pro-adultery website, Ashley Madison, whose slogan is "Life is short, have an affair." They have put up a billboard in Pennsylvania that endorses Newt Gingrich for president. The billboard has a large picture of Gingrich with the text, "Faithful Republican, unfaithful husband, welcome to the Ashley Madison era." This comes a few days after Gingrich endorsed a marriage pledge that disavows adultery. Clearly his wedding was not, you know, that never worked in the past, you know, getting married, but, you know. According to the Morning Call website, the founder of this pro-adultery website, Noel Biderman, explained in a brief statement, he said, quote, "Now that Newt is the leading contender in the race for the GOP nomination, we felt compelled to make a point to illustrate how times have changed when a serial divorcee adulterer is capturing the hearts of the American people. Gingrich proves that marital fidelity has no bearing on someone's ability to do a job. He is not the first nor last politician who will step outside of their marriage. Consequently, we endorse him." Choke on that, Iowa evangelicals. Go ahead.
Let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Oh my God, I was just thinking Jeb Bush? No. This hour has been sponsored by Dave Helms. Thank you, Dave, very, very much. And his message, happy birthday to my wonderful wife, Bonnie. And thank you for tuning me into one crazy son of a bitch. That would be me. Thanks, Mike, and keep up the fight. Only Dave wrote SOB. Dave, thank you. And Bonnie, thanks for tuning him in. And happy birthday, Bonnie. Happy birthday. More fascism from Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. He signed legislation yesterday that will restructure Michigan's unemployment and workers' comp insurance system. Changes that he said would ensure their solvency and integrity. The bills he signed authorize the issuance of revenue bonds to pay off the state's $3 billion federal unemployment insurance debt, which will save the state about $117 million in 2012 and will spare employers more than $270 million in federal penalties. This debt arose from a decade of high unemployment in Michigan, as unemployment taxes assessed on employers has not kept pace with claims made by Michigan workers, thanks to the Republicans. Rick Snyder's a Republican. Thanks to the capitalists. Rick Snyder would call himself a capitalist. Oh, well, the workers take it in the chin again, huh? The unemployment measures that Rick Snyder signed that will ensure the solvency and integrity of blah, 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 also tighten reporting and job-seeking requirements for laid-off workers, and to require workers to accept new employment if the pay is at least 120% of his or her weekly unemployment benefit. If it's 120%, at least, it may be cleaning out toilets in public urinals. But if the average weekly benefit in Michigan is $300 and Joe or Mary is offered a job for $360 a week to clean out urinals and commodes, and they don't take it for whatever reason, then Governor Rick has signed legislation that their unemployment comp then ends. It doesn't take into consideration what Joe or Mary may be qualified to do. The Assistant State Director in Michigan for the National Federation of Independent Businesses said, "These changes will save small business owners a lot of money." They always say that, don't they? She went on to say, "It really reinforces the notion that unemployment insurance is a fallback. It's a fallback. But, you know, it also says we really want people to get their asses back to work." I added the asses part. Now, where are the jobs that Boehner talked about? Well, the Republicans, you know, jobs. Well, where are they, huh? Supporters of changes to the workers' comp system were adamantly opposed by labor unions and Democrats, of course. The supporters said, "Well, you know, we had to do this because we had to clarify ambiguities that had arisen out of myriad court rulings, and we had to streamline a system known for bureaucratic inertia." But the fascist Rick Snyder, in signing these, also signed legislation that, or the legislation also restricts the definition of a disabling injury, and includes a requirement that workers whose injuries prevent a return to their former jobs accept alternative employment. So if you are seriously injured, and you're having a hard time moving around, a serious injury related to the job you used to have, Rick Snyder is now dictating that if you don't accept alternative employment, if you were a forklift operator and your back is all screwed up, well, if there's an opening for you to be an elevator operator, you take that job, sucker, or you're going to lose. You're going to lose your workman's comp. I wonder how much longer we Americans are going to put up with the dictates of the capitalist class the pimps who are running these little two-bit whores like Rick Snyder. No offense to real sex workers. How much longer are people going to put up with it before they stop putting up with it? Gives you something to think about, doesn't it? All right, we have a break coming, and we shall return. Stick around. And happy birthday to Dave Nelms' wonderful wife, Bonnie. Ta-da! We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. As if parents. The hour. This is the Malloy program. This hour is sponsored by the Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch in West Virginia. The message, go to crmw.net. crmw.net. And become a part of the solution to Appalachia's agony. Sign up for the email list, get a t-shirt, or even make a contribution. We can end mountaintop removal with your help. End quote. Coal River Mountain Watch. Thanks to that organization for the sponsorship. It is an honor to have you as a sponsor. Go to their website, will you please? crmw.net. Coal River Mountain Watch. I got an email today from Grandma Ellen, who's in her mid-80s. You want to hear it? From Grandma Ellen. She writes, now, some of this is you know, the sentence structure is a little bit weird, but it's not because Grandma Ellen is not able to put together a sentence. It's because who do you know who's in their mid-80s who writes emails and sends them? You know, it's a little bit weird. It's weird for me. Here's what Grandma Ellen wrote. Obama never gave us the chance we thought he was going to give. He is more like the Bush administration and has an assassination group which is totally against our laws. All Americans are innocent until proven guilty. And now after Obama had his assassination group kill an American, makes him a murderer. Has become a murderer, as Bush and Cheney are. No wonder he let those two, Bush and Cheney, go free, as he's so much like them. He promised if anyone came after the working people, he would put on his working shoes and walk with them. When that did happen in Wisconsin, where was Obama? In Florida, with Jeb Bush. Now he's saying the same thing, thinking we have forgotten what he formerly did. IMO... That's pretty cool, Grandma. IMO Obama is trying to get us into the New World Order. Some think this is crazy, but I don't. If those that think this, if they would only Google George Herbert Walker Bush, the New World Order. They will find out that this administration, Papa Bush, has wanted the New World Order for some time. Now that's why I believe Obama is for this. One World Gov, the New World Order, same thing. I will vote for Democrats, but never Obama. So I'm hoping the Democrat Party will get someone to run against him, but I doubt they will, as the leaders of Democrats are so corrupt themselves and always get out those with the backbone. Pelosi could not find any reason to impeach Bush, even though he started a war on lies, killed thousands and thousands of innocent people, and at least 5,000 of our precious soldiers, and yet the Republicans found enough to impeach President Clinton for sex. No deaths at all. How can anyone that believe in a God vote for a person like that? Obama forgot how so many fought for the colored people to have the same freedoms as the whites. And now he won't even help the Palestine people have their own country after they were driven out because they were not Israelites, saying by these so-called Christians that believe that the Holy Land belonged to the Israelites only, and believing that the Palestinians believed in a God that was not true. In other words, they say, my religion is the true one while yours is false. We know that. They know nothing. My sister is of one faith and I'm of a different one. She told me at one time that she knew they were right and I was wrong. I told her, honey, you don't know anything. She got a little upset, so I told her, honey, you believe you're right, but you can't go to any court and prove you're right and I'm wrong. Belief is in the heart and can't ever be proven. These poor Palestinians were driven from their home by those that believed they were right and also had a strong army behind them to force the Palestinians from their homes after they had been there with other Israelites with whom they became fast friends and consider them both to be the children of the prophet Abraham. They lived in the Holy Land for over 1,000 years together before driven out. The so-called Christians brought in those Israelites that were torched by Hitler, drove out the Palestinians and gave their land and homes to these Israelites. Because these so-called Christians know they are right, they know nothing of the sort. Belief is no proof of anything. The reason these so-called Christians did this was because they go to the Old Testament and find where the Lord said that the Holy Land belonged to the Israelites. In my religion, I believe that the Old Testament was fulfilled with the coming of Christ. Now, this is my religion, and I'm not expecting anyone else to believe the way I do. Christ says he's no respecter of persons, that all people are precious in his sight. The Old Testament, that was fulfilled in Galatians 5:14 by these words, love thy neighbor as thyself. He loves all people the same, no favorites. I've heard you can't prove this, that the countries that did this was the United States, England, and France in 1947 or 48. It was asked by the American people, by President Roosevelt, why he done this, and he answered, because my constituents asked me to. Can't prove this, but that's what I've heard. And now Obama won't help the Palestinians as he wants to be reelected. I'm sure he will not admit this, but IMO, it's true. I wanted Representative Anthony Weider to stay as he had a backbone and fought for the people. But what I didn't like about him was he was not for the Palestine people, which I'm for. But I wanted him to stay as he's a fighter for us, and we truly need a fighter. We don't have many, for sure. The leaders of the Democrat Party have no backbone whatsoever, IMO. During the 2000 election, when Karl Rove drove from Texas to Florida and went and pounded on the door where a judge, Democrats and Republicans, were counting the votes, when the pounding started, the Democrats jumped up and ran out the back door, IMO, like a bunch of cockroaches. When the votes were counted and Bush was put in as our president in the U.S. by the U.S. Supreme Court, it was found that Gore had many, many more votes than Bush, and he was the one the people wanted. The Democrats never tried to change this ruling. That's why I say we need another Chavez, as the people there went in and pulled the one that the rich had put in power after the people had voted for Chavez and put Chavez back in as ruler. Those people had a real change when Chavez was put back in, not like we had. We need a strong person that will stand up for us like Chavez has done for his country. Whether our leaders like Chavez or not, they don't like anyone with a backbone for sure, we truly need another one similar, IMO. I'm 84 years old and have almost all my voting years voted Democrat and will continue voting for Democrats, but not Obama for presidency. I'm also tired of voting the lesser of two evils. Love you all, Grandma Ellen. Well, Grandma Ellen, thank you for writing a very eloquent email. IMO. Huh? What about Grandma Ellen, right? She mentioned Anthony Weiner, so I guess she lives in New York? Don't know. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. Past the hour. If you didn't during the break, please go to crmw.net. crmw.net. Check it out. I'll tell you why after the next break. Email. Mike, on my drive today, I passed the local Salvation Army. It is becoming one of the few resources in my city that is providing boxed food items. The lines are larger each week. But today it was different from the other days. What caught my eye was a soldier walking around the corner alone with one of those boxes. My heart stopped, or should I say skipped a beat. Damn, the vision of a soldier added a new awareness to my consciousness. But that's not all, Mike. As I passed this soldier, across the street was a group of six soldiers walking toward the Salvation Army. My family had made the decision several weeks back that for our Christmas dinner, we are making fresh turkey sandwiches with homemade cranberry relish and dessert, etc., and will dedicate the day to passing out as many as we can to those we find in our city. No name, please. Capitalists hate former soldiers. And the military in general. When the capitalists want to expand their markets or to conquer people or to destroy societies, they haul out the patriotism meme and convinced a lot of young American males and now females to join up and fight for freedom. Yes! You filthy sons of bitches. I swear to God. And of course, the young people, not understanding what the capitalists are about to do to them, sign up. And they go kill and be killed and have their legs and arms and brains blown to pieces. Their psychological stability ripped into a million shreds. And when they come home, after having serviced capitalism's filthy, degenerate functions, they're abandoned. So they can walk up to a Salvation Army table and get a boxed lunch. And the filthy pig bastards who sent them there, oh, I'm not talking about the Pentagon or the Bush or Obama administrations. I'm talking about the capitalists who sent them, the capitalists who rigged the game to begin with. What are they doing? Well, the returning soldiers are left without a job, with all their emotional problems, some of them homeless, on the street, looking for a goddamn boxed lunch. What are the capitalists doing? Sneering. Smirking. Continuing the game. Paying themselves huge bonuses. And waiting for the next time that they will pull the patriotism meme out of their filthy little box of tricks. And another group of 18, 19, 20, and 25-year-olds will say, yes, yes, okay, okay. I want to be a Marine. I want to be a soldier. I want to defend my country against the whoever it is. And the capitalists, of course, are so willing to point these young people in the direction that the capitalists want them to go. Your enemy is over there. Over there. See him? See him behind the rocks? See him in the desert? Look, he's in the jungle. See him in the mountains? There he is! Sink him! Get him! Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. From PD, this is addressed to me. By saying not to vote, I believe that you want Americans to hit bottom. There's no other logic. You want us to hit bottom because that's the only way real change will happen. If Democrats don't vote or vote for another party, the Republicans will win. Every Republican votes faithfully while we Democrats are being disenfranchised. It will be a slow death when they are in complete power. A slow and painful death, and I think you should not use the airwaves in order to express this point of view. Too much is at stake. I never write, but this is too serious for me. From PD. All right, we have a break here. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls. Phone number here is 877 996-2556 if you'd like to get on board. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Between the Tigris and Euphrates, another day comes to an end. It's Christmas in Fallujah. Peace out. Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch And the message from this organization is go to crmw.net, crmw.net, and become a part of the solution to Appalachia's agony. Sign up for the email list, get a t-shirt, or even make a contribution. We can end mountaintop removal with your help. So please go to their website, will you? Okay? crmw.net. Gary is in Caraway, Arkansas, listening on XM. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Mike, I've listened to you a long time now.
And, well, thank you.
Well, and I enjoy your show, but...
Well, thank you.
I'm a little puzzled about one thing.
What's that?
Well, I don't know why you're so hard on the only candidate in either party that's against, that is not a warmonger. And I'm talking about Ron Paul.
Oh, sure. No, I understand he's not a warmonger. He also believes, being a libertarian, to me, that is almost, it's kind of a neo-fascist. Libertarians don't believe in any kind of restrictions put up by the government on any kind of capitalist enterprise. If somebody wants to say, well, I'm going to make a kidney medicine, and anybody who has kidney problems, buy my medicine. So a bunch of people buy the medicine, and 16,432 people drop dead. As far as Ron Paul is concerned, that's okay, because now other people won't buy that kind of kidney medicine. Rather than having agencies to make sure that capitalism, which really wants to cut your throat, Gary, and giggle while you bleed, that capitalism has some kind of restraints on it so it can't cut your throat. So Ron Paul may be against war, per se, foreign wars, but he's damn sure not against the wars that capitalism can perpetrate against the American people.
Well, who out there is?
Well, no, that's not your argument. That's not your argument. You started by saying that I wasn't backing the one person that was anti-war, and I just gave you an example. I wouldn't back Ron Paul if he was the last candidate on Earth for anything. And now you want to change it and say, well, who is? That's not the way to debate the point, Gary.
Hey, who was the grandmother you folded ball go that sent you the email?
Say what? Oh,
grandma?
Yeah, Grandma Ellen? Grandma Ellen?
Did you know Ron Paul's friend in our sport of Israel?
That Ron Paul is what?
He's against, he is for ending our support for Israel.
Well, he's against ending our support for anything. The UN, NATO, any treaty, any backing of any country, anywhere. Don't just single out Israel. Ron Paul is an isolationist. He's kind of like Pat Buchanan.
Well, I'm in agreement with that part. I'm proud.
Okay.
I think we need to be more of an isolation.
Okay.
Getting back to the drug issue.
But wait a second, Gary. Where are you going to draw the line on the isolation, though? I'm going to make a wild guess here and assume that you take some kind of medicine. Do you take medicine? I do. Do you take medicine?
No.
You don't take any kind of medicine? Not Lipitor, not blood pressure medicine, nothing. You don't take anything?
Nothing.
Okay. Do you ever take aspirin?
Every once in a while.
Okay. Do you know where your aspirin's probably made? It's made in some foreign country. Now, Ron Paul doesn't want any kind of dealings with any foreign country. He wants to be an isolationist. Where are you going to get your aspirin?
Well, I feel like we're capable of making it here.
You know, one thing, well, sure we're capable of making it here, but the capitalists don't make it here. You know why? Because to run an aspirin factory in the United States, you'd have to pay somebody $12 an hour. Why should they do that when they can get some Chinese folks to do it for 12 cents an hour? Now, you know, isolationism is crazy. It might have worked back in the 17th or 18th century, Gary, but it doesn't work anymore. So I hope that helps you understand why I think Ron Paul is insane. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate you checking in. Oh, plus the fact that he's, you know, he's a racist and a homophobe, and I'll get into that next hour. Just stay on, just keep listening, Gary. You'll get some information from me next hour. But I got to kind of take this in sequence. You know what I'm saying? Thanks, Gary. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks for being a long-term listener. I know it must be hard. Now, I'm not trying to be a smartass. I know it must be hard to be a long-time listener to this program. Jeremy's in Burlington, Vermont. Hey, Jeremy.
Speaking of Ron Paul, he also wants to give Pakistan a nuke.
He wants to do what?
He wants to give Pakistan a nuke.
Well, they already have a bunch.
Well, no, I'm sorry, not them. I'm trying to think. Never mind.
Okay. Back
at the top, I told you. I know what I'm trying to say, though.
Okay.
I called you because I heard on the AP News tonight that a powerful Southern Georgia judge resigned under scrutiny that she's been treating people badly throughout her career, I guess.
I haven't gotten that story yet. I have not. I don't get an Atlanta newspaper anymore. And
I sent you an email about 10 minutes ago, so it's probably in your box. But
oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Do you know where the judge was or why she resigned?
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Do. Okay. So. Hello.
Her name is Amanda Williams.
Amanda Williams.
Yep. Said she'll resign on January 2nd. She also agreed never to seek judicial office again.
What'd she do? And why are you telling me about it?
Well, I was just curious because I wondered if you'd heard about it, just being from your home state.
No, not yet. I mean, this is Georgia. If I kept track of every corrupt politician and judges here are for the most part politicians because a lot of them have to run for office. If I tried to keep track of them here in Georgia, I'd go insane. You know, I live in Georgia, Jeremy. I know Vermont probably doesn't have that problem. But I live in one of the most corrupt states. It's totally Republican, top to bottom. Newt Gingrich is from here, among others. I mean, it just goes on and on. So, no, I missed that one, Jeremy. But I'll check my email and see what you sent me.
Okay. Have a good night, Mike.
Okay. Appreciate it. Take care, Jeremy. Tamar is in L.A.?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Tamar. Tamar or Tamara?
I go by Tam, so it's fine. You can call me whatever. It doesn't really matter, I guess.
Okay. What's up, Tamar?
Not too much. I just kind of wanted to rant a little bit about the United States publicly condemning the arrest of Russian protesters and Egyptian protesters and Syrian protesters. But at the same time, doing everything that it can to arrest Occupy activists.
Would you call that hypocrisy?
I would call that, definitely hypocrisy.
I hear you.
I can't think of a more dirty word than that. I'm part of Occupy LA. I don't consider I'm not speaking as a representative of Occupy LA. I just want to make that clear.
Sure.
I'm just an autonomous individual, mm-hmm. in my opinion. You know, in Los Angeles, we've had over 200 arrests, and compared to other cities, other occupations in the United States, we've had less arrests than so many other cities.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all across the country, there have been over 5,500 arrests so far, and it's just ridiculous, mm-hmm. absolutely ridiculous. And I'm not sure how other cities are handling it, but in Los Angeles, as soon as an arrestee gets to their arraignment, the court orders them to stay away 200 feet from City Hall where we're holding our General Assemblies. And I think that's taking away their right to freedom of speech and their right to petition their government with grievances.
And the right to peacefully assemble. And
exactly, yeah.
And until the American people, all of us, say we're not going to put up with that anymore, that's going to be the way it's handled. And I don't know, you know, I don't speak for anybody either except myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
My attitude is and has been, Tamar, for a long time, that eventually when enough civil liberties have been taken, either through something like the USA Patriot Act or this new military detention law that Obama is now apparently going to sign or has signed. When enough is taken from us and we realize that it's a zero-sum game, it's either us or them, then then us will finally rise up. And I don't mean rise up in trying to put anything down, but we won't rise up and go to local parks and sit in tents and hold general assemblies. We will rise up in the same manner that people in Syria, Palestine, Egypt, the way they have risen up. Tomorrow I've got to leave it there. There's the break music. I appreciate your call. We'll be right back.
Truth seekers, Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're waking. He knows if you've been bad or good. You better be good for goodness sake.
It's about 10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by the Coal River Mountain Watch. Thanks to that organization, it's a privilege to be sponsored by them. And their message, go to crmw.net, crmw.net, and become a part of the solution to Appalachia's agony. Sign up for the email list, get a t-shirt, or even make a contribution. We can end mountaintop removal with your help. So check them out. Will you do that for me? CRMW.net. And thanks to the Coal River Mountain Watch people for sponsoring an hour of the program tonight. I really appreciate it. Joe is in Los Angeles. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I hope that I can get away with saying happy holidays to you and Kathy.
you can say anything,
yeah, well,
anything you want.
If the NRA can get away with saying happy holidays, and even Billo the Clown can get away with it. I hope that I can get away with it.
Oh, yes,
not
you can.
And not be beaten over the head with a 2,000-year-old book of fairy tales.
But never.
Anyway,
never.
Anyway, Mike, you know, here I am, civil servant.
Yeah.
Worked for the federal government 34 years, Social Security. I got people in my office, hardcore libertarians. They keep telling me, you know, it sure would be great if we could take some of that money and invest. Well, you know what happened, Mike? In 1984, when Ronald Reagan did away with the old pension system and he promised pie in the sky, a lot of people went in with that new thrift savings plan and they put the money in the stock market.
Right.
And poof, 1987, whole bunch of it went up in smoke, went away. Then it built up again. What happened recently, around 2008, proof another market meltdown. There's been three market meltdowns. A lot of the money's been frittered away, but they still have that mystical belief in the free market, just like other libertarians. I've gotten to the point where I believe libertarians live in a laissez-faire land. Really.
I think you're right.
I mean, it's just really shocking, Mike. It's just really shocking that people are still believe that they're just one lotto ticket away from getting into the 15% tax bracket, just like the guys that run the bank.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I just wanted to touch base with you on that laissez fairyland thing. And
well, I'm glad you did, Joe.
Sure.
All
thanks.
Right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you checking in. That was Joe from L.A. Yeah, Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich are, I don't know. They're both crazy, but in uniquely, or in ways unique to each of them. And I'm, you know, I'm using the term crazy very broadly. I'm using it in the sense of just disconnected totally from reality. Newt being part of the 1%, I don't know about Ron Paul's, I mean, he dresses like he probably doesn't make a lot of money, doesn't have a lot of money. That may just be his style. I'm just saying. Newt, on the other hand, it's obvious that, you know, he wears $7,000-$8,000 suits and goes to a tailor. If they're made in this country at all, he might have them sent over. And his wife, I mean, Newt and Calista Gingrich, I don't know. I can't, you know, in the first place, I honestly don't believe that she's anything other than animatronic. I cannot get my mind around the fact that she, you know, brushes her teeth or eats or goes to the bathroom or shaves her armpit hair or, you know, stuff like that. I just can't. I can't. She doesn't put out that kind of a vibe. She puts out a vibe that she is animatronic. And I think Newt likes it that way. Newt is not real up on smart alecky women at all. And don't forget, Newt sees himself as a transformational person, an historical transformational leader. And to historical transformational leaders, and in Newt's mind, they're all male, women serve a very clear function, but it's not anything that couldn't be performed by an animatronic creature. Does that make sense? That does to me. He's had flesh and blood wives in the past who do untoward things like inadvertently develop cancer or aren't pretty enough to be the wife of the President of the United States. These are words right out of Newt's mouth. Or who come to see him as this cretinous son of a bitch that he really is. And, you know, Newt can't relate to that. Either worship me or get the hell out of my life is Newt's credo where it concerns women. And I think Calista, who must be just totally unaware of what the word hypocrite really means, since at the time she was dating Newt and he was married, Newt was lambasting Clinton, who was, I wouldn't call what he and Monica did dating, but to use kind of a cover-up term, that one will work. And Calista had no problem being awash and immersed up to her crystalline eyeballs in the same kind of hypocrisy that her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thoroughly and absolutely condemned. I mean, I don't know. Why am I talking about this? It's just a clown show. Well, I'll have more on the clown show when we come back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. And this hour is being sponsored by Anonymous. And Anonymous, thank you, Anonymous. Anonymous has a message. It is this. It's a quote by David Hawkins from Power Versus Force. Here's the quote. The skillful are not obvious. They appear to be simple-minded. Those who know this know the patterns of the absolute. To know the patterns is the subtle power. The subtle power moves all things and has no name. End quote. Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, submitted by Anonymous. Thank you for the sponsorship, Anonymous. Love the quote. Ah, yes. The more obscure, the more powerful. I love it. Gingrich and Ron Paul. I know a lot of people, especially younger people, think of Ron Paul as being this charismatic libertarian leader. You young folks better drop back 10 yards and form a huddle and take another look at your hero. Both Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich come from the same school of thought that is utter and absolute totalitarianism. Ooh, Malloy, you're wrong. Not Ron Paul. He's anti-totalitarianism. Hog urine. Let me tell you a little bit about, I'll start with Ron Paul, then switch over to Gingrich. Ron Paul, being an Ayn Rand acolyte, to the point where some people say he named his son the senator from Kentucky after Ayn Rand. You can debate that. The guy's name is Rand. Or is it Randall? Who cares? But you have to keep in mind that Ayn Rand was an absolute fascist. Just complete. The definition of fascism was Ayn Rand. And Ron Paul, who claims to be, if not an acolyte, certainly a follower of libertarian philosophy, has to accept the idea of fascism as being the system of government, or else he's a complete hypocrite in everything he said. But if you want to take a look at some of the stuff that was in his political newsletters over the years, columns in his political newsletter, some of them unbylined, so you don't know who wrote them, but they were in Ron Paul's newsletters. He had a bunch of them. He had the Ron Paul Political Report, Ron Paul's Freedom Report, the Ron Paul Survival Report, the Ron Paul Investment Letter, blah, 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 blah. His newsletters included, over the years, racist passages, anti-homosexual passages, even, God forbid, anti-Israel passages. Now, he has since disavowed all this, of course. Well, of course, this is what they always do. This is what they always do. Oh, well, that was 20 years ago. You mean you didn't mean it then? Well, yeah, it was all taken out of context. Well, but here it is. It doesn't look like it's out of context. Well, I've disavowed all that. Now, can we talk about getting the government out of the EPA? Or the EPA out of the government? You know how they do. Now, the latest issue of Hold Your Breath, Your Nose, something, the Weekly Standard. A leading conservative publication. Reprised reports, according to the New York Times, of incendiary language in Mr. Paul's newsletters. A 1992 passage from the Ron Paul Political Report about the L.A. riots reads as follows, quote, order was only restored in L.A. when it came time for the blacks to pick up their welfare checks. End quote. Oh, really? A passage in another newsletter stated that people with AIDS should not be allowed to eat in restaurants because, quote, AIDS can be transmitted by saliva. End quote. And in 1990, one of his publications criticized Ronald Reagan. Oh, St. Ronald? For having gone along with the creation of the federal holiday honoring the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which was referred to in the Ron Paul newsletter as, oh, this is original, Hate Whitey Day! Order was only restored in Los Angeles when it came time for the blacks to pick up their welfare checks. Ron Paul says he doesn't know anything about it. He says, quote, I absolutely, honestly do not know who wrote those things. He said this a couple of years ago in an interview with CNN. I honestly, absolutely do not know who wrote those things. And he added that he did not monitor the publications published by him because he was busy with a medical practice and, quote, speeches around the country. I don't know. You know, what do I know? Yesterday, his deputy campaign manager, Dimitri Kasari, reiterated that Mr. Paul, quote, did not write, edit, or authorize, end quote, the language. Well, who did? Spooks, haints, ghosts, elves. Somebody got into Ron Paul's publishing, newsletter publishing firm, and authorized it, but Ron Paul never did. He didn't do anything. Oh my God, no. The LA riots only ended when it came time for the blacks to get their welfare checks. Martin Luther King Day is referred to as Hate Whitey Day. Mr. Kasari, the deputy campaign manager, said he totally disavows what was said and disagrees with it. Totally. The only responsibility he takes is for not paying closer attention. Oh, really? Oh, okay, well, then that settles that, right? That's it. All over. Not quite. During his 1996 race for the House, issues of his newsletter called Barbara Jordan, the African-American Texas congresswoman, quote, a half-educated victimologist, end quote. And his newsletter said of crime in Washington, D.C., quote, I think we can safely assume that 95% of black males in that city are semi-criminal or entirely criminal. 95% of black males in Washington, D.C. are semi-criminal or entirely criminal. Now, he defended those statements to the Dallas Morning News at the time when he was running for the U.S. House, saying that the statements were taken out of context. And he also told the newspaper he didn't know that his newsletter was listed by a neo-Nazi group called Heritage Front. Apparently, as recommended reading, under the internet heading, Racialists and Freedom Fighters. You younger people who are trying to be post-racial, how about your boy? How about Ron Paul? How about this guy, huh? The question now is whether the newsletter's reappearance will hurt Ron Paul with some of his younger supporters. A freshman organizer for Ron Paul at Drake University in Des Moines predicted that the newsletters would not reduce the ardor of his supporters. Of course not. This young guy said, quote, I've heard that four or five times, but it really has not made me wary. He's not nothing in his record to suggest that this is part of his personal beliefs as a member of Congress. Or as a presidential candidate. Well, I'll tell you what, young Mr. Mesher, you just keep believing that and disavow what somebody says because they disavowed it, and you were putting a noose around your own neck. And Jacob Mesher, that's your name, right? Jacob Mesher. Could that be Jewish?
And the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops and every other household item. Watch a mob just turn and bite them, and they say it served them right because a few of them were white. And it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination. Yeah, and you can't understand me and all that other jazz they hand me in the papers and TV and all that mass.
It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. And the program tonight is brought to you by Vulture's Picnic. That's a new book we talked about last week by Greg Palast, one of America's best investigative reporters and one of the funniest, I might add. You should read Vulture's Picnic. I'm in the middle of it. It is one of those books that, you know, when you find 10 minutes during the day, you're not doing anything, you grab it. You can get the first chapter free at one of two websites, either vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com. Okay? Vulture's Picnic. All right. To the young people out there who are intrigued by Ron Paul, because now I'm going to say something that will probably piss off a lot of young people. I'm going to say it anyway, because I was young at one time. It's really cool to have an old man like Ron Paul, a politician, tell you that there's no rules. It's real cool to have a politician say, hey, listen, there shouldn't be any laws against dope smoking, or there shouldn't be any laws against, and then write down the list. Why should there be any laws? Well, you know, if you're 19, 20, 21, 23, 25, whatever, and you spent all those years living under the thumb of your parents, and all of a sudden you're out on your own, and here comes this old guy who represents authority telling you that you should be able to do anything you want to do. And that somehow your natural inherent instincts will stop you from doing things that are counter to the goodwill of other people, which, as we all know, is hogsnot. We don't live there. That's not where we live. Certain elements of our brain have certainly evolved, or at least our thought process, is to understand on a very high level that we're in this together and we're all going to choke to death and die together, unless we do something. But on a less elevated part of the brain is still that, give me mine, goddammit! I want to do anything I want to do. And that's what Ron Paul appeals to in younger people. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Now, you can send me an email and say, I'll never listen to your damn program again, if you want to. But that's exactly what Ron Paul is appealing to. Libertarians, for the most part, are people who never really grew up with the idea of taking responsibility, a collective responsibility of realizing there are 8 billion people, almost, on this planet. And to have a political philosophy that says, well, anybody can do anything they want to, whether no matter what the consequences are, no matter what the ripple effect is, it really doesn't matter. That's a thumb-sucking 5-year-old. So as far as libertarian philosophy is concerned, it's a loser philosophy. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. Now, if you want to go there, go ahead. But I just wanted to get that said. So Ron Paul has been selling you young people an empty box. And a lot of young people have bought it. I've been seeing Ron Paul bumper stickers for 15 years. Ron Paul is a phony. He's an absolute. Now, the Ron Paul philosophy carried out in the form of, say, the legal system. And I'll get to that in a minute, because Newt Gingrich wants to destroy the legal system. But Ron Paul's theories, codified and made the law of the land, would absolutely result in the imposition of hardcore boot-in-your-face Orwellian fascism. But a boom. Because the power, the billionaires and soon trillionaires, the capitalists, are no more going to stand for that kind of nonsense than they're going to stand for democracy. So, instituting any kind of Ron Paul political philosophy would result very quickly in the boot coming down on you young people's faces. So, please, don't be a sucker, okay? Don't be a 21-year-old chump. Don't listen to somebody like Ron Paul, who now disavows his racism and his homophobia and his white race superiority. Just please. There are all sorts of candidates out there.
third, fourth, fifth party candidates who never get any kind of attention whatsoever, check them out. Or become your own candidate. Occupy yourself. But don't let Ron Paul occupy you. Fair enough? Now, the previous 5 minutes probably will be considered under the heading of Mike Malloy tries to lecture to us young people after his generation has screwed up the world. And if you want to adopt that point of view, you're certainly entitled to it. I'm coming at you, though, from experience and whatever wisdom you accumulate when you reach a certain age. I have reached that age. So take it for what it's worth or kick it out the window. It's your call. We'll be back after the break and talk about what Newt wants to do. Newt is more of a totalitarian than you could possibly imagine. Stay with us. Speaking, huh? 25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous. Anonymous has a message. It is a quote by David Hawkins from his writing Power Versus Force. Hawkins writes, quote, "The skillful are not obvious. They appear to be simple-minded. Those who know this know the patterns of the absolute. To know the patterns is the subtle power. The subtle power moves all things and has no name." David Hawkins in Power Versus Force, thanks to Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. Newt Gingrich. Remember, if you're of a certain age, you learned all about the Soviet judiciary. Remember? The farce that was the Soviet legal system. The Soviet Union had a constitution that mocked, and I use the term mocked very, very deliberately, the U.S. Constitution. There are all sorts of guarantees, free speech, free assembly, freedom of religion, women's right to vote, on and on and on and on. And, of course, if you dared to try to exercise some of those guarantees given to you by the Soviet Constitution, you ran the risk of being taken behind the Kremlin or the nearest Goom store and shot in the back of the head. So the Constitution was there, but everybody knew it was a joke. The judiciary in the Soviet Union was also a joke. It was simply an offshoot, a political arm of the Politburo. And the judiciary did exactly what it was told. It was a wholly owned subsidiary of the ruling cadre of communist leaders. Newt Gingrich liked that. He liked that a lot. So he's now launching his assault on what is always a Republican target, the judiciary, judiciary generally and judges specifically. These right-wing trolls hate judges, don't they? Especially the judges that rule in favor of the Constitution. Because usually when they do that, they're ruling for, not usually, but occasionally, oft times, they rule in favor of minority rights. Minority rights? Ah! Which is another thing that the fascist right wing in this country absolutely can't tolerate. But there's no love for the judicial branch among any of these Republicans who are trying to become president. But as the AP reports, Gingrich's ridicule has been by far the sharpest and the loudest. And his ridicule of the judiciary has taken a central role as his campaign struggles in Iowa. You know, Gingrich was the flavor of the day for, you know, for, I don't know, a couple of weeks. Whoa, Newt Gingrich! And now he's going down the toilet where all of these swine belong. And now Ron Paul, woo-hoo, he's surging. Anyway, Iowa, a state where social conservatives voted out three judges who legalized same-sex marriage. And, of course, they didn't do that. What they legalized was the right of people under the U.S. Constitution to form a contract. The equal protection segment of the U.S. Constitution. Now, right-wingers don't like that. There's no equal protection to Republicans, conservatives, you miserable deadhead trolls who listen to this program. You don't believe in that. There's no right. There's no equal protection. There was never equal protection for women until 1920. No equal protection for people of color, especially African Americans, until when? The 50s and 60s? Equal protection for gay folk? What's next? Equal protection for Muslims? And then who? You sick bastards. You really are. You really are stomach-churningly sick, you right-wingers. Especially in Iowa. Unbelievable. Gingrich told about 200 supporters who turned out to hear him speak in Davenport, Iowa yesterday. Quote, I commend the people of Iowa for sending a strong signal that when judges overreach, they can find a new job. Overreach. To Gingrich, and apparently to these people in Iowa, overreaching means saying, yes, the Constitution means what it says, where it concerns equal protection under the law. If two people want to form a contract, it doesn't have to be sanctified by any religious group of psychos. It doesn't. You don't have to go into a Catholic church, a nest of pedophilia, to get your marriage sanctified. You don't have to go to a Protestant church, a nest of paranoids who insist that their twisted, ghoulish religion is being crapped upon by the secular judges. If you want to form a contract with your partner, and you both happen to be the same gender, if you want to form a contract to open a business, no problem. If you want to form a contract to do just about anything, no problem. Unless you want to form a contract to get married. Big problem! So how do you solve this? Well, when the courts had the temerity to rule that equal protection under the law means equal protection under the law, very simply, you impeach the judges. And you put judges in who have a political agenda. The political agenda being the queers will not get married. Very simple. And in doing that, you destroy the independent judiciary, which is exactly what the Soviet Union did, which is exactly what Newt Gingrich wants to do. Gingrich has suggested that judges who issue what he termed radical rulings, you see, if it is a radical ruling to Newt Gingrich, what would he do as president? Well, very simple. He would order them subpoenaed before Congress to explain themselves before facing possible impeachment. Ah, so you have a show trial before Congress. Sound familiar? You have to be over 45 or 50 to get this, to completely get what I'm saying. And if you're under 45 or 50, maybe you know enough about the history of the Soviet Union as it paralleled the history of the United States as both of these monoliths tried to take over the world. Maybe you have studied some of the news reports of that vile, vicious, ungodly, filthy communism and their lying, stinking judiciary that was nothing more than an extension of the Politburo. If you do know all this, then you understand that Newt Gingrich would have fit in perfectly with Bulganin, Kosygin, Khrushchev, Molotov, Stalin. He would have been right at home. Right at home. So, bring the judges in before Congress, question them, maybe put dunce caps on their heads, those long pointy ones that the Cultural Revolution in Maoist China used to put on the intellectuals and the judges and the school teachers. Remember the pictures? You remember all this. I know you do. You remember this. This is Newt Gingrich. This is Newt Gingrich. He loves this. Explain yourself, judges, before being impeached. Now, how do you get the judges in? Well, as president, he said, maybe you saw the sound clip, he'd consider sending U.S. Marshals armed to round up judges who refuse to show up voluntarily. And in extreme cases, entire courts would be eliminated. This is your Newt Gingrich. Now, to you people in Iowa, you evangelicals or you other creepoids who are thinking about voting for this guy, are you serious? Did you understand what you're doing? First of all, he's a lying son of a bitch who violates how many marriage oaths do you want him to violate? And every time he violated, was that because some queer someplace got married? So this poor beset upon heterosexual had to leave his wife? Because a gay couple got married? So come on, for Christ's sake, wake up. Wake up. What is wrong with you people? In the January 3rd Iowa caucuses, Gingrich will represent the point of view that calls the courts, as he did, grotesquely dictatorial. He certainly has a way with words, doesn't he? Oh, he's great with words. Oh, yeah. All negative words. Vile, dark, vicious, mean, cutting, hate-filled, disgusting, contemptible, radical words. That's Newt Gingrich. He has cast his fight in Iowa in stark religious terms, too. Reminiscent of the culture wars in which a secular legal elite was encroaching on religious liberties, which, of course, is just backwards. The religious elites are encroaching on secular freedoms. But this is what they do. Invert language. Totally destroy it, changes meaning, and you have the new Soviet Union under Newt Gingrich. The message that comes with the sponsorship is a quote from Power Versus Force, written by David Hawkins. Here's the quote. The skillful are not obvious. They appear to be simple-minded. Those who know this know the patterns of the absolute. To know the patterns is the subtle power. The subtle power moves all things and has no name. Thank you, Anonymous, for the sponsorship and for the very interesting quote from David Hawkins. Newt Gingrich wants to destroy the judiciary. He wants to have judges dragged before committees. The committees will determine the crimes or possibly the sins of the judges before they are then impeached, removed from office, and God knows what. Entire courts may be nullified in order to satisfy the whims of this megalomaniac son of a bitch, Newt Gingrich. One of the most egregious arguments that the religious crazy people in this country constantly put out is how Christianity is under assault. It's under attack. It's under attack by the secular humanists. Now, in the first place, it's just the reverse. The crazy Christians want to dissolve the wall of separation between church and state. The crazy Christians want to literally turn this into a Christian nation. Oh, and they're willing to warn us about Sharia law. While they themselves want to install something even worse. Old Testament law. Oh, my God. So to speak. So Newt Gingrich travels that well-worn road of lies and distortions about how the judiciary is eroding religious freedom, when in fact the religionists are eroding everyone else's freedom. That's the way it happens. That's the way it is happening. But this is how the lie is told. They just invert it. Do what the Nazi propagandists told them to do. The big lie. Say it enough times. Say it often enough. Get your pigs and your shills and right-wing media to say it. And it becomes truth to the brain-dead right-wingers who install fascism. The targets of Gingrich's latest derision is, well, a usual group, the West Coast's 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a perennial punching bag for the right-wing Nazis in this country who want to install fascism. It's always the 9th Circuit. Oh, and a federal judge in Texas who banned prayer in a public school. Now, the judge did not ban prayer. Nobody has that power. You cannot ban prayer. What the judge said was that the state cannot dictate prayer. Now, to Newt Gingrich and the Christian crazy bastards in this country, that is unacceptable. The state has the right to order prayer. In fact, the state and prayer and religion to the Christian crazies should be one. And Newt Gingrich plays right into this because Newt Gingrich is a totalitarian of the most disgusting order. He doesn't have the physique or the mind or the power or the guts to lead a real revolution. So he does it this way. What a skunk. What a skunk. No judge in Texas banned prayer. No judge anywhere ever banned prayer in the public school system. Never. The Supreme Court did not. It has never been banned. If your little Susie or Johnny wants to go to school and pray until their little fingers drop off, let them. Just tell them to do it privately, which is what Jesus said to begin with. I mean, come on, read your Bible, you phonies. Gingrich's rhetoric promises a more muscular executive branch that would simply ignore some federal court rulings that Gingrich disagreed with. How about that? This is what is the last step on the way to abolishing an independent judiciary. You ignore. The government ignores the rulings. And who's going to enforce them? The court doesn't have an army. The court doesn't have a police force. The court doesn't have a marshal system. So who's going to enforce the rulings of a Supreme Court or a Circuit Court of Appeals or a judge down in Texas? They don't have the military. That belongs to the executive branch. So perhaps you can begin to see here what Gingrich's plan is. Or maybe you can't. Two former attorneys general named to the nation's top law enforcement posts by George W. Bush have really come after Gingrich's proposals. One of them, Michael Mukasey, remember him, said Gingrich's ideas were, quote, dangerous, ridiculous, totally irresponsible, outrageous, off the wall, and would reduce the entire judicial system to a spectacle, end quote. Ah, but Mr. Mukasey, that is exactly the idea. You voters in Iowa, you better get your minds back. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.